Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Hello, and we have another great show today. Thank you for podcasting the show at your convenience. On this show, anything goes. That means you can talk about just about anything and everything within reason. If you have a product such as a really good and informative book or something that benefits my audience, then let me hear about it and maybe we can get you booked on this show. I'm always your host. I'm learning just like you are. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's get started. We are now on the air. Do not just listen. Be a part of it all. Participate. We can all learn something. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here. Enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That introduction always gets my juices going. It's a beautiful, beautiful day in Chicago. It's the second day of spring. It's also daylight saving time, and that's wonderful. It looks great out here. I'm looking out the window on the Broadway, onto the Broadway here, and it's beautiful. Folks are going about their business and doing this and doing that. It's a beautiful, lovely Saturday evening. I'm seeing 602 on my screen. It could be different where you are, but that's what's on my screen. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful thing, and I hope it stays that way because I'm glad to see winter go. I really have no excuses anymore, you know, and it's beautiful. It's lovely. The sun is shining, but it'll be dark maybe in about an hour or so, but that's good. I mean, that's because of daylight savings time. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I'm on the air in Chicago broadcasting live. If you don't have time to listen now, if you're not listening now, podcast the show for later. This show will always be on my website, so you can always come and listen to it. I have other shows, other podcasts, other recordings on my Block Talk Radio Show website, and they're going to be there forever. So you can listen to any episode at any time, at any point, and most of my shows are pretty, pretty lively. I try to make them lively because I want my show to be fun. I don't want it to be boring and, but, you know, I try to make it fun. And you can help me do that, okay? So it's not just me trying to make the show fun, but it's my listeners, the audience, and all that kind of thing that makes it fun. And I started the show way back in August 2014, so I'm still the new kid on the block. Like I said in my introduction, I'm still learning, you know, because I always feel that you never stop learning, and that's the truth. You never stop learning. I can be you can be 90 years old, and you're still going to be learning stuff. You know, you never stop learning. Education never quits. It's always a big deal in my family. I mean, I am a stupor for education, believe me. It's got to be about learning because, like I said in some previous shows, knowledge is power. And I didn't believe that a few years ago, but I believe it now. I'm all about knowledge now because knowledge is power. Knowledge actually totally will take you places. Without it, you're going to be held back. It's going to, you know, it's going to hurt. And I don't want to say that in a negative way, but it's true. The more you know, the further you will go. There's no doubt about that. And I'm just in awe of how beautiful the day looks. You know, I mean, I was ready to come on the air. I was waiting all morning to come on the air. So I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're there. And I'm glad you're listening. And if you're not, then you just podcast the show, record it, download it. And it's always there. It's always there. And so, like I said before, and so are a lot of the other podcasts. In iTunes. I'm also in iTunes. I'm on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. And follow me. You just click that little button that says follow me, and that's it. And you have every show. You make sure you don't miss a show, because if you miss something on this show, this particular show, I can't speak for other ones, but this particular show, you'll miss a lot, because I really throw the kitchen sink in every show I produce. I really try, not literally, but, you know, basically what I'm saying is that I do say a lot and talk a lot and present a lot in every show. So there's no show that I haven't done that's boring, that not to my estimation anyway. Or there's no show that I haven't done that's not interesting. I mean, I think everything I do is interesting. I do get a lot of feedback from some things that I do. I get a lot of positive feedback, and there's times when you get that negative feedback, right? But I always let negative feedback, you know, propel me to keep on doing what I love doing. The negative feedback or the negative comments or whatever I might get from certain people or some people doesn't really bother me. I just laugh it off and keep going. You know, I think that's what you have to do. Because anytime you're trying to better yourself or better your life or better your situation, someone's out there is going to try and stop that from happening. Yeah, someone's going to stop that. And you can't let them do it. You know, I mean, they're just out there to try to stop that from happening. And I want to say a lot of times I'm on Facebook, a lot of things that, you know, I do a lot of posting sometimes. And there's people who do posting in my name. You know, so you have to differentiate if it's me or somebody pretending to be me, you know. So we have to, and that's not just happening to me. That's happening to a lot of people. People are stealing your ID, your identity online, right there in front of you on Facebook. Because I have seen a lot of stuff that supposedly I have supposed to have posted, and I didn't post, but my name is there saying that I posted it. And I don't understand that. So there are people out there who are trying to, you know, belittle you, take you down, or act as if you have no actual say in what you're talking about. Okay? So watch out for that. Watch out for that, because it's happening. It's happening. Some people just don't want to see you get anywhere. Some people just don't want to. There are some people who will try to ride your coattails to try to get some glory for themselves, where they figure that you're getting glory, they want glory. But like I said before, the only people who want to see you fail are those who are failures themselves. Because if they were doing something positive in their life, they would not be trying to ruin your life. So I always tell myself that, and you should tell yourself that, in case these hackers come out of nowhere, or these liars, or these people who want to try to infiltrate into your life because they have no life of their own. You know, just be aware of those kind of things. Okay, we have an author, a best-selling author. I believe she's online right now. Her name is, I hope I do not butcher her name. Some people, okay, this is her autobiography, bio. Some people know her by Sabrina Fraser. Others know her by her pen name, Michelle Dobson, I hope I'm getting that right. Regardless of which name she goes by, her books have been known to stir the soul, encourage the heart, and tickle the funny bone. They are Sabrina's way of inspiring, enlightening the masses through romantic fiction. Okay? All right, that sounds good. I mean, That's enticing. Okay, let's see. All right, you on the air? You there?
I am.
Hello? Okay, great.
Hi,
wonderful.
This is Sabrina.
I know it. You got a nice voice. Great. Okay. So how's the weather where you are?
It's pretty hot today in Augusta, Georgia. We were in the mid-70s, and a lot of people were grilling out, including my family. And we're enjoying this weather.
Oh, yeah. Once this broadcast is over, I think I'm going to go. I think we're going to go out here and enjoy it, too. Because it's I'm in Chicago, and I'm looking out of the window because my studio is near the window. And we're near the lake, actually. So it's always a little cooler by the lake than it is inland, you know. But, hey, I'm not complaining. I think it's still beautiful. It's wonderful, and daylight saving time is just adding to that, you know. And I'm so glad that winter's over. I am totally glad it's over. I mean, because I have a young son, and he's glad it's over. Usually children like snow and cold, but he's sick of it too, so we both are. And
he's ready to get out and get warm, yes.
Yeah, he's ready to get out and get warm, play with his friends, go places, parties, girls. I guess girls. I hope girls. Okay. All right, I have a review of your book. Can I read it?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. I enjoyed the story and how the characters evolved. You saw the relationship blossom as they dealt with their own fears and bias that honestly a lot of us have. I love the mother. The reader really grows to dislike her as the book progressed. I enjoy the opening conversation of what is urban, what is black, and what is family. Most of all, I love the imperfection of her faith. The book showed what I believe to be a true picture of how we know the right thing, but we cannot do it, even when we have the best of intentions. Okay, that's a pretty good review, I think. What do you think?
I love it. I really love that the reader went in on the relationships between the characters and what stood out the most, you know, for this particular reader in the book. And whoever this reader is, they nailed it. That's pretty much what's, you know, going on in the story. I do spend some time on that mother and just dealing with the dynamics of having a toxic or a dysfunctional relationship with a parent, and how to deal with that. What should be your response? How do you remain respectful when your parent is anything but that towards you?
How did you come up with the title? That's something, Loving Contrast. That's unique.
Well, I came up with that title because the story is actually an interracial love story.
Uh-huh.
It's a black female with white male, or so to speak. It's a little twist with his heritage in there. But on the surface, it looks like a black woman dating a white man. And so there's this contrast there. But not only the contrast in their cultures, but the contrast of their personalities. He's outgoing, blunt talking. She's shy. She's reserved. So there are all these contrasts, and that's where I got that from.
So that's they're kind of different. They're different people trying to deal with a relationship or something like that, but I'm figuring they do get along, even though they're different. They're contrasting each other. They're different, but they're getting along.
Yes. Despite their contrast, there is still love there, and they find middle ground because of that love.
Okay.
So that's
I'm
the journey that these particular characters.
Okay. I'm thinking that this book is light on the sex and focused more on telling of the story. Am I right on that? Or?
Well, I'll try to create a good balance of both. You know, I don't shy away from the sex or the love scene.
A lot of writers do that.
I don't. And this is one of my edgy inspirational novels. So you'll see Sabrina Frazier on the cover of this particular book, because all the books that are my edgy inspirational are under Sabrina Frazier. And the ones that are mainstream or more secular, they're under Michelle Dotson, which is my middle name and my maiden name. And so for this book to be an edgy inspiration, you know, novel, I still, you know, deal with the topic of sex. I don't just, oh, they kiss and then the door closes, you know, kind of thing. I'm just, I decided a long time ago that if I was going to write anything, I needed to be fearless, you know, when I wrote.
Okay.
And I needed to not shy away from anything.
That's what I was taught in writing.
But it's always tasteful, though, George.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, it's tasteful. I was taught that, too, when I was going to writing school. Write down, don't be afraid. Just write down whatever you think, whatever you want to say, just write it down, you know. And I think that's what writing is. It's just writing, being truthful as a storyteller. I mean, be truthful in what you write, you know. And I try to do that. Okay. Do you think it's important to grab the reader on the first page when you, you know, the first page of the story?
I do. I know that people are busy, busier more than ever these days. A lot of us have short attention spans. You want to grab them from the get-go as much as possible because you want to pull them on into the story and then make it so that they'll want to turn the pages, you know, and keep turning the pages, you know.
Exactly.
Take the book from room to room. Okay, you started reading a first chapter in your bedroom, but then you took it to the kitchen with you while you were checking on dinner, and then you took it another, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I would think every writer would want that. I mean, you've got to grab them from the opening. You've got to grab them. I have read books where that the author, you know, you really didn't get a grasp of the story until maybe two or three chapters later on into the book.
Yeah.
And there are some writers out there to do that. But what really grabs me is the first page, because that first page, like you say, is going to keep you turning pages. I mean, you're going to be walking to the park with that book, you know, under your arm. Because, you know.
Exactly.
Or
reading it on your Kindle and taking that and pulling it out wherever you are and reading a little bit more. Because, see, that's my relationship with books. That's what I want in a romance novel. That's what I want in a book, period. Hold my attention. Because anybody can go and read technical books. You know, those are meant to be a bit on the boring side because you got all of these facts and trivia questions and answers and stuff. But when you get with your books where there's entertainment involved, you want to make sure that you engage the reader. You know, are their emotions stirred from the first chapter? Because in this book right here, Love and Contrast, from the very beginning, you see the dynamics of this mother and daughter. You see the mother just going in on the daughter from the very first chapter. And you know, very first page, you see that dynamic between them, and it makes you wonder, well, why is the mother acting like that? What happened between them? That she, you know, these questions.
I agree.
You have questions in reading novels.
Okay, of all the books that you have written, what made you decide to choose this one to talk about?
That is a great question, George. To be honest with you, I was going to, I had two others that I was thinking about talking about first, but for some reason, this one just kept coming to my mind. This is the one that you need to bring up. This is the one that you need to address. And so I just followed that leading. It wasn't an any, meeny, miny situation. It was just what book is the book of the hour? What book needs to be discussed today? And Love and Contrast is what came up in my spirit, and that's what I took and ran with, you know? So, and it, you know, the message within this book is so powerful because it deals with protecting innocent children. It deals with, you know, as readers get into the story, they'll see why the mother and the daughter have this relationship, what happened in the past for them to be, their relationship to be so strained now. And you'll find that when Anaya, the main character, was young, her mom was a party animal, and she was the type of person who had a revolving door. She had all these people coming in all the time, all these wild parties and all this stuff. And she had daughters. And some of these people that she had coming to her house, you know, didn't understand boundaries. And so the daughters, you know, were made to feel uncomfortable in their own home, and some boyfriends, at least one boyfriend in particular, got out of line, and that caused the whole firestorm of things. And that's also what inspired Anaya to, when she became an adult, to become a social worker, because she wanted to do everything she could to keep, you know, innocent children, you know, to protect them, to keep what happened to her from happening to anybody else.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds beautiful. Sounds enticing. Sounds engaging. Okay. All right.
That's right.
It's nice talking to you, for real. Okay. Are some of the characters in your books based on real people that you knew in life? I mean, you don't have to give any names.
All right, so I'm going to be very, well, of course, you know, it, for me, it's no issue at all. Some of these, some of my books, I actually pour out of myself my own personal experiences or things that I've gone through. So I have gone through some of the stuff that this character actually went through. You know, my mom was a young mother. She was into the party scene, and we had a lot of company over a lot of the time. And she loved us, and, you know, but she also was a young mother, and she wanted to live her life and have fun and recapture her own youth. And some of the decisions were not always in the best interest of the children. And so what happened was some of these guests got and did some inappropriate things to us. So therefore, I remembered that. I remembered that, and that's why when I had children, I was very particular about where they went, who they were around. It was like I was joined at the hip both of my kids. I took them everywhere that I went. You know, and a lot of people you know, said that I was too overprotective. And I get that, and, you know, and I can't even be mad with them for saying that because it's true, but they don't know why. They don't know why I was like that. And it was because I was trying my best to protect their innocence. I did not want them to have to spend any, not 1 minute, not 1 second of their adulthood getting over something that someone did to them when they were still innocent. I wanted them to have a happy childhood. I wanted them to have a childhood where they could trust the adults around them, a childhood where they could actually be children and not be faced with adult decisions too early in life.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is why I was so overprotective, because I wish I had been protected a little bit more. Now, I had a good mom, now don't get me wrong, but there was, she, you know, like I said, in the midst of her trying to live her life and enjoy her youth, because she was a mom at a very young age. She started having kids at 15. And so, you know, we got kind of caught up in her still trying to feel her life out and figure out
some of
that, and she trusted some of the wrong people.
Yeah, so some of this is incorporated in some of your books.
Yes.
Some
of,
because because I do the same thing. My life, I mean, I don't think you can really write a book without putting some of yourself into it, you know. Some of the things that you've experienced.
George.
Some of the things that some of the people that you've known and stuff like that. I don't think you could do it. But a lot of us, we still do invent characters from scratch, though. But still, we, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes we just take someone that we might know and build a story around them. But change their names, of course. Okay.
Exactly.
You know what? Yeah, because, you know, I got a memoir out there, and someone said they don't like it, so so I don't know. It's true. But anyway, I mean, this book, Loving Contrast, did you do the cover? Did you have any input on the cover? It's a beautiful cover. Interesting.
I appreciate you saying that, George, because I really did do that cover. Normally, I contract out for my covers, but on this particular one, I said, well, let me just try and see if I can do this, because I had a vision and I wanted to roll with that. I just, you know, studied what some other people had done, and I just opened, you know, software programs on my computer, and I just started doing my best to design what I saw in my mind. And that's what I came up with.
That's
great. I was pleased by it, you know, the contrast there, and the fact that, you know, focusing on the eyes of the main character, because really the eyes mean a lot when it comes to her. Not only did she have pretty, beautiful mm-hmm. eyes that the male character Chandler loved, but she, her eyes, her is a representative of her perception and how she had been told by her mom, literally anyone outside of her race. She was told, and especially don't date white men. So for her to even venture out of what she had been raised to do or not to do was quite a feat for her, because she had had all this thinking, thinking, and raised this how she was raised. And so for her to feel like love had to be so isolated to a particular group of people, when you love who you love. And so she had to open up her eyes and open up her heart to embrace that love is love, and however it comes to you, what package it comes to you, that is what you need to explore. So that's what happened with that. That's why I concentrated so much on her eyes, is the fact that she needed to see things differently.
Oh, you did a great job, because one of the things is the cover is an eye catcher too. You must have a good cover, you know, that'll catch a lot of people's eyes too. And you have a great cover. You know what? I can't do covers. I tried. I have to, you know, but maybe I could do a cover if I really tried to do a cover. But none of my books and short stories, you know, I think I've done one or two covers, but that was about it. But anyway, you have a great looking cover, and I think people should, you know, check it out. You really do. You really do. It's
now,
one of those.
I won't do all of my covers, George. But I, you know, the ones that I feel led to do, I'll certainly, you know, try my hand at it. Because I, you know, with me starting this publishing company last year, you know, I have authors coming on board that I'm helping to also get published as well. And so, you know, some stuff will be announced, but some stuff will be contracted out, because I understand, you know, that you do need a good support team around you.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. You can't do it alone. But you have to, you know, try to, you know, learn to trust people. So, you know. Okay.
Exactly.
Do you become emotional or very passionate when you're writing?
What? Oh, my God. Yes. there's no book that I've ever written that I haven't been emotional or attached to the characters, the storyline. I mean, George, when I'm doing something, I'm all in. So, and I don't want to do it if I can't put my all into it. So, I mean, I'll walk away from it and come back to it when I can put my all into it. So each book that I write, I am all in. And it's, even though I'm writing the book, it's like I'm also the reader. So it's like I'm looking at it from the reader perspective as well. So I'm like, you know,
I think
what's
going
to happen next?
That's me.
So
I'm wondering what's going to happen next. And, you know. In my own writing, I'm wondering what's going to happen next.
And this book. Yes. And see, now, George, on this book right here, Love and Contrast, I actually featured it on my on one of my private blogs. And I featured it as a live story, which meant that I had the plot of the story and what was going to happen. But I actually wrote the story live, you know, three times a week or however I posted. So there was always this spontaneity to it. It was always this off-the-cuff, you know, fresh, hot, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like added to the story as well, is because it was, you know, so active in the moment. And then readers were commenting on it. They were inboxing me about it. Oh, what's going to happen with this? And why does she do that?
Oh,
I can't stand that, Mom. So I, all of this energy, you know, is coming back to me. And there,
I'm
feeding off of them getting excited. I'm excited, and I'm writing as fast as I can. And I have people who are stalking the blog. You know, when is the next post?
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's wonderful.
As fast as I can.
One of the things you want to know, you want to know that people are reading your stuff. You want to know that somebody's out there enjoying it, and that somebody's out there wanting more. You know, so that's great. That's great. Does the past sometimes find its way into your work?
My past?
Just the past in general, I guess. I mean, you know.
A lot of times.
A lot of times?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it shapes us. It shapes our future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the stuff that I do, the past finds a way into my stuff. I incorporate it into it. Sometimes I might update it to what's happening today, but sometimes I don't think I could write without the past. No, even if it's fiction, you know, I think the past creeps up into some of my work and some of the work of other authors. Let's see what I was going to say. You got an excerpt you want to read?
Well, I can read an excerpt. I actually have one selected here.
Okay.
This is, but I want to do a little build-up for it because
okay,
I just want to, for those who are listening in, I want to make sure they understand what was going on before, you know, this all happens. And so I told you earlier, George, how this character, Anaya, and her now husband in the book, because they got married, and she is still dealing with all the stuff from her past.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dealing with the fact that these things happened to her when she was innocent, and she felt so unprotected. And she felt unprotected by her mom, and her dad was an absentee father, and so he wasn't there. And then she, even though she was going to church, it was like church members knew what was going on in her household, but yet nobody would intervene and step up and get, you know, anyone involved that could actually make a difference in how her life turned out. So she felt at the mercy of all of these adults who could have done something but didn't. So, and then she got upset with them, but she was also upset with God most of all, because she was looking at, why didn't you save me? Why didn't you let me go through all of this?
Sabrina, can I cut in on you?
Oh, sure.
Someone's on the line. You want to talk to him?
Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on.
Sure.
Wait a minute, let me click. Can I help you, caller? You there? My screen says they're there, but there's no answer. Hello?
Hey,
they may be listening in.
Oh. Go ahead. Yeah?
Hey, I just called in to listen.
Okay, you're just listening? You don't have anything to say, input or anything?
No. Nah, I was just listening.
Okay. Okay. All right. So keep listening,
that's
all right?
Great. I'm glad you're listening.
Okay.
Good deal.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Keep listening, all right? Okay.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Where was I?
Excerpt?
Yeah, so this is the part where Anaya is dealing with the fact that she felt so abandoned by everyone, including God, and how it affected her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is, you know, talking about how, you know, at first she was blaming everybody else, but then she started blaming God, because how could you do this? How could you allow this to happen to me? And so her husband is listening to her as she is telling him, you know, why she felt this way about God. And so the excerpt goes like this. Let's see here. As time went on, I started to place more blame upon God. I was angry with him because it seemed like he was too quick to punish me for wrongdoing and too slow to show mercy when I needed it. You see, a few of my mother's other boyfriends had acted inappropriately towards me and Callie for years, way before the Duncan incident. Inappropriately like how? Like putting us in the wrong place upon their laps, kissing us in the mouth when we clearly had two cheeks each, and smacking us on the bottom every time we walked by them. We never gave them permission to do those things to us, and we certainly hadn't done anything wrong to deserve that kind of treatment. Neither had most other kids that we wanted to went into social work. Yes, I wanted to be a reliable adult that hurting children could count on. I wanted them to know that there was at least one person in the world that genuinely cared what happened to them and would be one of their greatest advocates, one adult that wouldn't touch them inappropriately and disappoint them for their own selfish reasons. My greatest hope is that they will one day learn to rely on themselves like I had to, and then become reliable adults too. While his wife continued to pace the floor, Chandler grew very peaceful, as a passage from Psalms 46:1 revisited his mind. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He'd gotten a lot of good teaching, insight, and encouragement from that passage during last Wednesday's Bible study. That passage helped him to finally come to grips with his abandonment issues concerning his own past. Now he was ready to share what he learned with Anaya. Although I can certainly understand how you came to those conclusions, I still don't agree with them all. Based on what I've learned about God and from what you've told me today, God didn't abandon you while you were in trouble, Princess. He was right there with you the whole time, keeping your head clear in the face of danger, giving you enough wisdom and fortitude to not only help yourself out of a bad situation, but to also grow up and help others. I thank God for never forsaking you, for never forsaking me either, now that I think more about it. I'm grateful for his intervention in my own life over the years, for the fact that I was sent to the Eden Fields at all. Some kids never find good homes, especially when they get to be as old as I was when I first met my future parents. Anaya abruptly stopped pacing and stared at him with open mouth. A frown creased her forehead. I never thought of it like that before. It can't be that simple. Have I laid blame where it didn't belong all these years? I think so. Just reflect back over all the good things that have happened to you since that incident, Chandler replied. I think you'll find that God has been giving you double for your trouble in so many ways. Amaya nodded as she recalled how easy it had been for her to find a place of her own when she moved out from her mother. The new neighborhood she and Callie lived in was quiet and wholesome, with caring neighbors who looked after them in ways that their mother never did. How quickly she'd been accepted into college and all the scholarships that she'd gotten there.
Wow.
Some of those scholarships she'd been able to use to keep their rent paid and utilities on. How easy it had been for her to get a good job after college and how fast she advanced up the ranks in her career. Not to forget the lucrative orders that she still got for her baking business. Just last week, she baked 5,000 cupcakes for a 4-star retirement party.
That's something.
That order helped to pay off her car early with plenty left over for her growing nest. Is it true, Lord? Have you been here with me the whole time? Anaya looked upward as juicy tears rolled down her cheeks. It was you, wasn't it? She said, answering her own question from the growing peace in her heart. How else can anyone explain all those years of undeniable favor? Those years where every new person I met was good to me and didn't mind going out of their way for me and Callie. And let's not forget this good man that you sent me, a man that could have had his pick of women, but yet he chose me. Me, she pointed to herself. He loved me so much that he never gave up on me, even when I gave up on his boat. And then he made me his wife so that we could avoid hurting you with further sin. Chandler's eyes watered at her heart-rending words. He sprung to his feet when she suddenly dropped to her knees in humble surrender. I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, God. A night saw, burying her face in her hands.
That sounds great.
Chandler joined her on the floor and held her as she continued to cry penitent tears. During that time, he encouraged her to forgive herself again and anyone else that she hadn't completely released. Then he led her back to the Lord using a simple and heartfelt prayer of repentance. Anaya readily forgave. She just as readily received forgiveness by rededicating her life back to Christ. It was an awesome moment. After the prayer, they remained on the floor just crying, hugging, and praising God together. The awesomeness of that moment went up a notch.
Okay, Sabrina, I have another call on the line. Let's see if they have a...
Great.
Hey, caller, you got a question for the author?
Yes. My question is, when you're writing your books, what is your inspiration for, you know, the leading characters in your book?
That's a good question. And by the way, that caller sounds like my friend Trina. Well, my inspiration for my leading characters can come from people that I've met or people that I've seen on television or what have you. I have a picture in my mind of how I think each character should look or could look if they were actually real people. When it came to the character of Anaya, I knew that I wanted her, the image that I had in my mind of her was the young lady who had won America's Top Model, Eva Morales or something like that. I wanted to make sure that the character had that look about her, but had the personality of someone who was, you know, introverted, shy because of things she had gone through and her distrust for people. And I had met people like that in my life who had suffered through things, similar things, and how they were drawn into themselves. They would talk to people, but they wouldn't initiate any conversation because they didn't trust a lot of people.
Okay.
Great question.
Yeah. Thank you for your question.
Hello? Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, I had another question in mind as well. In your book,
Arthur, can you take another question?
I sure can.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to say, first of all, I commend you in your books, the faith that you put in your books about God, you know, them becoming reborn again Christians and having a faith in God during the difficulties in their lives. And my question is, do you ever get backlash because of this, or do you get support because you put God in your books?
Another excellent question. I get both. In fact, this particular book, one of the reviews that I got was very simple, and I could tell it was the book offended this person. They were like, this is not a Christian book. And I'm pretty sure the love scenes probably set her off, you know, but I don't shy away from it. And, you know, like I said, I decided if I was going to write, I was going to be fearless. And I also did my research in the Bible. If you look at Song of Solomon, I'll tell anybody this. That book talks about thighs, it talks about breasts, it talks about lips and kisses, and it talks about things. And a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that. A lot of people don't want to deal with that. They want to act as if God and sex has to be separate, but he's the one that created it. It's a beautiful thing. It's nothing. I mean, it needs to be, of course, in an honorable way, but there's nothing wrong with having that discussion. There's nothing wrong with talking about it, or, you know, it being something that you can actually address. I just feel like as a Christian, I don't have to shy away from that topic at all. And, you know, the more I live, the more I see so many Christians are falling short in that area. They're doing a whole lot of stuff. They're having a whole bunch of sex, even though they know it's wrong or whatever outside of marriage, but they're still doing it. And I'm saying it doesn't have to be this taboo subject. It doesn't have to be, and I'm not going to be afraid to speak on it, and I'm not going to be afraid to write about it. And so I know that my books are not going to please everyone, and I know that some people are going to be offended. I always try to make sure that my love scenes are tasteful. I always try to make sure that I represent God well and represent myself well, and that whoever's reading the book, you know, won't have that knee-jerk reaction to it. But there are going to be some readers who are just going to be sensitive to that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not upset with them about it. It's not going to stop me from writing about it. Understand that.
Yeah.
I'm going to write what I'm led to write. And then
exactly.
The other thing is
okay.
The support side. I've had overwhelming support from people about this.
Right.
I've had married people to email me and to say, oh, wow, I never thought to do that. Thanks for that marital, you know, tip. And, oh, wow, you know, so I've had it both ways. And, you know, it just comes with the territory.
Yeah. Okay, caller, thank you for your questions.
You're welcome. Have a nice
day. You too.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay. Are you up for another question from me?
I am.
Okay. Because I know you've been talking a lot, and that's
right
great.
Ahead.
That's wonderful. Hmm?
Go
and that's
right
great.
Ahead.
That's wonderful. All righty. What would you say to young people who want to become published writers but let other people discourage them?
Say to them, go ahead and write anyway.
There
are going to be people who will tell you you can't do a lot of things. Don't let them stop.
Yeah.
If you really feel like you're called to this, just go ahead on and start. I don't care if it's, you know, just journalizing, because that's how I started. You know, just journalizing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go from there and developing, you know, characters of book. If you write poetry,
yeah.
you write your poetry. Continue
right.
to do what gives to your heart, what causes
right.
you to smile, and what you'll do even if you never got paid for it. Joy, that's one thing about me when it comes to writing. I'm going to continue to write no matter what. Whether anyone wants the book or anyone buys the book, I'm going to continue to write because that is in me. So if it's
I'm
in
with
me
you
to do,
with that. Yeah.
Do it.
Right. Right. And I always tell people, don't worry about the monetary value of it. Don't worry about the money. If it's, if something you love to do, keep doing it. And maybe, you know, down the road, it'll come. The monetary money will come, you know. But a lot of times people get into writing. They get into writing because they think they're going to get rich. They're going to get money. They're going to get a big old advance check from the publisher.
Some of us do. Some of us do, George.
Yeah. I have to admit, I thought that for a while back. But, you know, I mean,
we get it like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's not reality. You know, I mean, we all want that. We all would like to see our books made into a movie someday, you know, but, you know, we got to be, but, you know, that's not always reality. I mean, there's no doubt some writers become overnight sensations. Some books become, you know, bestsellers the moment they're published. But, you know, in reality, you know, we have to do what we love regardless if it doesn't happen. You know, and a lot of time it doesn't.
Exactly.
You know, but you do it because you love it. You do it because and one of the things that keeps me writing is the feedback I get from people who buy my book or read my book. That's what keeps me going. Mm-hmm. You know, not the how much they paid for it or how much I'm going to get or what how much it costs. It's a feedback. Even if they didn't buy it, I still welcome the feedback because that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me motivated. That's what keeps me writing because I love what I'm doing. I love it, and I love making up stories, good stories, believable stories, you know.
Exactly.
Using characters from my youth, you know. You know, so it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy writing. It's fun. I enjoy the whole process. I enjoy doing the covers. Because when I write, I do it all. I do the covers. I do the inside. I do the autobiography. I do the prologue. I do the acknowledgments. I do it all. But it's fun. It's fun. It's enjoyment. I think it takes away some of the stress of the day. Okay.
And see, for me, writing is fun as well, but it's also therapeutic.
It is.
Because how I got into all this in the first place was I had a life-altering illness and in my late 20s, and I didn't even know if I was going to live to see my children grow up. And I didn't know. I was so full of everything. I was still married at the time to my high school sweetheart. We were raising these children together. And so much was going on with me physically. They couldn't find out what was wrong. I was back and forth to the doctor all the time and just kept, you know, it was just so much going on. And I'll never forget, I was just so full, and I just felt like I was going to burst if I didn't get this stuff out of me. And it was books from different writers that caused me to just begin to calm down, and then journalizing what was happening, you know, to me and what was going on, it caused me to feel better. The more I wrote, the better I felt. Mm-hmm. The more I wrote, the calmer I felt. The more I wrote, the less medicine I was on. I mean, George, it was just that it had an effect on me on all levels, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Writing had all of these effects on me, and I was like, you know, this is my medicine here. This is part of the cure. And that's what I did. I just continued to write. And then I wrote mostly for myself, and I would let a few people read it, and that's where I came out to, you need to submit this
to share it with the world.
This other people need to hear this. They need to read
Right, exactly.
And that's when I started doing it.
It is so many people out there. They're writing every day, but they don't let nobody see it. They put it in the bottom of the drawer, or the desk drawer, or the cabinet, or something. And it's good. And I've talked to some of these people. They said that they don't like sharing what they write. I said, why do you write if you don't want to share it? You know, I mean.
But George, don't you think that may be out of fear, though? What do you think? To me, it's like
I have no thought on it.
You're writing a book. like that's your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel scared to release your baby to the world?
I've known people like that. I've worked with people like that. You know, I want to write, okay, they don't want to share it. I said, why would you waste your time not writing and not sharing it? You want to let people give you, I mean, you want to share what you write. And some people are going to love it, some people are not going to love it, but that's the way life is.
People probably can't take the whole criticism that comes along with it, George, because, you know, some people can be
I think some people just don't
mean.
I think some people just don't want to share their my story or something with other people. They just rather write it down. But anyway, tell listeners where they can find your book, Loving Contrast. Give them a website or something where they can download it, find it, you know, link a website to the book.
All right. So Love and Contrast can be found on Amazon. All you have to do is just put in the name under the search and it'll come up. It's currently just in ebook format right now. I haven't put it in paperback yet. That is one of my next steps to do. I've been focusing more lately about ebooks because that's where my audience is, and it's easier for my overseas readers to get it. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it is actually on Amazon.com, and it is on sale for $2.99, and it's about 137 pages, so it's a good-sized length book. It's like 42,000-plus words. So, and it was much larger than that. I actually trimmed it down a whole lot because I wanted it to be a shorter, quicker read. It is not currently available on my website. That's why I direct people to the Amazon site. The covers, of course, are on my website. To actually purchase the book, you can get that at Amazon.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there anything else you want to add about the book? We're just about off there.
I do want to say that something about the program that I actually feature in this book, and that is the CONSTA program. And that's the program that I actually have my main character involved with. And what CONSTA is, it's spelled CASA, and it's the Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And what it is, is a network of community-based programs that recruit, train, and support citizen volunteers to look after the best interests of abused and neglected children in courtrooms and communities. And what these volunteers do is they're, of course, empowered by the courts, but they offer judges the vital information that they need to help each children retain as many of their rights and to address their needs. And these volunteers actually are very instrumental in getting these children placed in loving permanent homes. And, you know, sometimes a CONSTA volunteer is the only constant adult presence in a lot of these hurting children's lives. So I just wanted to hype up that particular program to bring that importance there. I actually have one of my best friends, Joy Johnson. She was an advocate, and I remember how much she had to go through to help get the children that she was responsible for placed in the loving permanent home and how rewarding that was for her. So I incorporated some of that into this book. But the National CONSTA site is www.nationalcosta.org, or you can go to www.costaforchildren.org.
All right. This has been Sabrina Fraser, author of Loving Contrast, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. You were a lot of fun. You provided a lot of insight to your books and everything else, and I'll see you on Facebook.
Thank you so much for having me, George. And everyone who called
no
in
problem.
And listened, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. Show, recording live, rebroadcasting live from Chicago, and it's still daylight out here. It is still daylight. I will be right back. That was author Sabrina Fraser. She was magnificent. Go out and pick up her book, Loving Contrast, on Amazon.com. It's ebook format, and I will be right back, taking a breather here. Thank you. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here. Enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Hey, happy second day of spring. I'm so glad winter is gone and everything, and it's still light out here. And that's totally due to daylight savings time. Totally, and it's wonderful. And it's great. I want to talk about some things in the news right now, and I talked about this yesterday on the show, and I just got to mention it again. It's horrible. It's horrific. Some woman took a knife and cut the belly of a pregnant woman and took her baby. I mean, this was in the news. I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. This is why I had to mention it a second time. Because the first time I mentioned it was yesterday, and I think I've gotten it from the internet and the national and local news shows. So, yeah, this is horrific. I mean, people are finding so many ways to, that's wrong. That's not right. It is really wrong. But I usually don't do slasher things on my show, but this is just horrific. I mean, she took a knife and cut the belly of a pregnant woman and snatched her baby out and ran. I mean, what is the world coming to? This is crazy. This is crazy. But I just wanted to mention that again. I really do. It's just bizarre. It's not funny. It's bizarre. Okay, like I was talking earlier in the show, watch out for those who don't want to see you succeed. They are out there. They don't want to see you succeed. They're trying to grab onto your coattails, figure some of your success might rub off on them, and they're, you know, and they have no talent. So, you know, just watch out for yourself and online and everywhere, because they're there. If you're succeeding, there's somebody out there who doesn't want to see you succeed. If you're successful, there's someone out there who doesn't want to see you successful, and they're going to do things and say things to try to get other people to hate you like they do. So be aware of that, especially people out here who have minimal success in general, because they're out there. They're coming after you. They're coming after me. They're coming after those people over there. So we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard, okay? And when you're going somewhere, put the cell phones down. Watch who's in back of you, who's in front of you, who's on the side of you. You never know. Because like I said before yesterday in the show, summer's coming. And when summer comes, there's an increase, an influx of criminals, and there's an increase in crime. You know, the criminals don't watch the evening news, okay? They're out there trying to release you from your valuables, you know. So be careful, especially my seniors. I mean, because I'm always hearing horror things that's happening to seniors, people who are 65 and older. The predators are out there. The predators are after them because they think the seniors are so vulnerable, and they're so weak and fragile. But I'm gonna tell you something. All seniors are not seniors. A lot of seniors do not look like seniors. They don't look like they're in their 60s or 70s or 80s. They are in shape. They go to the gym every day. They work out every day. They exercise every day. They're lifting weights. They own guns. So criminals beware. beware. You know, these law-abiding seniors, they're not going to take it anymore. They're not going to take it anymore. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. And you know what? It's still light outside. It's by my time, Chicago time, it's 7:02, and it is still light outside. It's getting dark, but you can still see some daylight. And that's a beautiful thing. And that makes everything so positive for me, especially because, like I said, I'm in my studio at the corner here, in the intersection here, and the lake is on my left, east. So, you know, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. And when I say wonderful, I mean it's wonderful that winter has finally left. Hopefully it will not return. Okay, there's a lot of protesters in Chicago as I speak. They're heading to Springfield. They're heading downtown in front of the mayor's office and all this kind of thing. They're protesting budget cuts that's going to throw a lot of people out of work, that's going to throw a lot of kids and the mentally ill out into the street. Rauner's executive authority, as he's stopping all funding to agencies. He's stopping all funding to every single agency in the state of Illinois that, you know, that is out there to help people. And then some people, these cuts are going to be devastating. He's cutting funding from the disabled. I mean, that's crazy. You know, I mean, you know, I admit there are some people probably out here that are, that shouldn't be on social services, but there are those people who actually need it, actually benefit from the funding. Okay, if he's gonna, in my estimation, if he's gonna cut something, if he's gonna do something, cut the waste. There's other ways politicians can find money to balance their budgets, but it always seems like they're balancing their budgets off the homeless, the poor, the middle class, working Americans, raising taxes. I mean, property taxes. I mean, there's. I'm not saying for them to raise property taxes. All I'm saying is that there's other areas out here that they refuse to look at that's wasteful, that they can cut funding away from instead of always going to those who are most vulnerable in our society. That is just not fair. I mean, it's not fair. These people did nothing. They're in their situation. It's not their fault that they're there. It's just crazy. And it's bad news all over the world. Sometimes I think the world is just going nuts, going crazy. But let me see here. I'm on the internet. I'm looking at. Oh wow! You really can't eat when you're on the internet. You can't. Don't try to eat and be on the internet. Something's gonna come up. You're gonna go ugh. Gonna make you throw up, you know. So it's rough. Bill Maher, he's always got something to say. Tom Cotton wants to crack down on countries that take Gitmo prisoners. All these crazy people. Oh man, Obama calls Republicans bluff on government funding. Okay, all right. Walker's terrible week. Freak out over Obamacare. Why GOPers skip Selma? Selma? You think the Republicans are going to go to Selma? They don't care anything about black people. They don't. They'll say they will, but most of them don't. When I say Republicans, I'm talking about the Republicans in Congress. You know, there's a lot of Republicans all over. But I don't want to lump them in the same category with these clowns in Congress. Okay? So, if anybody's wondering, I'm not a Democrat, I'm no Republican, and I'm an independent. So I have the right to, you know, criticize each party. I mean, if you disagree, that's fine. There's people who disagree with me. But that's fine. I mean, to me, I think that's fine. Because I think that if everybody agree with me on certain things, it would be boring, you know? It would be boring. I mean, to disagree is kind of like, well, we can get a debate going. You know, we can have a good argument. a positive argument about, you know, my way, how you see it and how you see it. Because everything I say in some states and sometimes it's just my opinion. But there are times when I do state facts. You know, there are times when I do state the facts because this is a facts show. And, you know, I just want that to be said. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm recording live, yeah, recording and broadcasting live from Chicago. It's 7:07, and I'm about to take another break, a real short one this time, you know, so I shall be right back. Stay there.
Stay right where you
are.
Hi,
everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Hello, and we have another great show today. Thank you for podcasting the show at your convenience. On this show, anything goes. That means you can talk about just about anything and everything within reason. If you have a product such as a really good and informative book or something that benefits my audience, then let me hear about it and maybe we can get you booked on this show. I'm always your host. I'm learning just like you are. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's get started. Let's get started. We are now on the air. Do not just listen.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
I want to talk about that show that I think ended yesterday, or was it 2 days ago? It's called Empire. It seemed to be the hottest show in the world, actually. I mean, this, it seems like the hottest show in the air with Terrence Howard and TB. I can't pronounce her name. It seems as though it's the hottest show, and I've never watched it. I never saw it. I've heard about it, the promos and all of this kind of stuff, but it seemed like it's the hottest show around. I mean, they have some real good guests on there. I mean, they're talking about getting Oprah Winfrey or I think they have Jennifer Hudson on there already and some other Mary J. Blige. But the show is going after even bigger stars. And I never watched it. If I'm wrong on that, you can call in and tell me or you can leave a comment because I never watched it. It seemed like something that was below me because I don't know. I just thought it was another, you know, silly show, you know. But apparently it's not. I mean, people who watch the show, they're all Google-eyed it. I mean, they're waiting for next season. I think next season is going to start filming in, I think I heard, September? I'm not sure, but I never watched the show. But I hear so much about it, and I don't know that much about it. You can probably tell by the way I'm talking. I really don't know that much about it. But I do know that it's popular. It's very popular, and millions and millions and millions of people had watched it every night. And I'm pretty sure once the show is in DVD format and available at some of these stores, it's going to be a run on these stores because people actually love the show. And I've never watched it. I've heard a lot about it. You know, I've seen clips and bits of it on the news and other places on the internet, but I never really sat down and watched the show. Maybe I should. What do you think? I don't know. But it's powerful, and I'm pretty sure I will because of all the hype in the show and all the noise surrounding the show. I'm going to have to sit down and watch it, even if I tell myself this is not what I want to watch. I don't think it's, you know, there yet, but who cares what I think, right? You know, the show is going to make $1 billion regardless of what I think, you know. So I'm going to sit down one day and watch that show and find out what is all the hype about Empire starring Terrence Howard. I had a gripe with Terrence Howard at one time, you know, because he was... It's stated, it's on the internet, you can find it on Google, that he was a wife abuser. He beat his girlfriends and wives. So that's what I had a gripe with. And I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, you can find it. If you want to research it, you want to find it, it's there. He was a wife abuser, stuff like that. But I guess that never held him back from getting another job, especially a job on a very, very popular show. Like I said before, I'm going to have to sit down and watch it, you know, and see what's all the hype about. And maybe when it comes out in DVD format in a couple of weeks probably, if it's not all bought up and gone, I'm going to get me a copy of the DVD. See, I own it. I own the first season of the show, and it'll be mine, and I can, you know, watch it, you know, see what the hell it's all about. You know, it's not a lawyer show. It's a musical show or something. It's about a rapper, and it's about a woman who just got out of jail, and somebody else took over her business, and she wants it back, or something. And she's flinging her ass all over the place. So I'm going to deal with it. Okay, let's move on. That's enough about Empire. I had a great guest on, author Sabrina Fraser. Okay. And she was just magnificent. So she's got a book out called Loving Contrast. Please, please go out and purchase it. Don't just purchase it, but actually delve into it and find out what she was talking about on the show. And I'm pretty sure everything will, you know, be copacetic. All right. Let's move right along. 713, 714, at least in Chicago, where I am. Oh, it's getting dark now. Yeah, it's getting dark now, but hey, it's okay, it's fine. Sometimes darkness is good, especially if it's nice outside, and I still see people, you know, walking back and forth because I'm in my studio and there's a great big window in front of me, so all's good. Okay, ISIS posts purported hit list of 100 American soldiers. I don't know, I think Obama should just go over there and take these guys out. I'm not about war. I'm not about violence. But these guys, and you know, did so much damage. I mean, they just should be taken out. You got people in America who's flying over there to join ISIS. Can you believe that? They're flying over there to join ISIS and then fighting against Americans. America. I don't know. I've said so many times in so many shows, the world has just gone mad. Okay. Chris Tilber Week, freak out over Obamacare, why GOP skip Selma. Okay, let's see what it says here. I'm on the internet, so, you know, trying to get through this show. Dismiss. All right, let's see what we got. Okay, we got this. Aaron Schock, he's resigned. He resigned. Let's see what they're. Boom, 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 boom. President Obama on Friday drew a sharp line in the sand before the next big battle over funding the government, pledging his opposition to any bill that does not alleviate the spending cuts scheduled to become law this fall. Oh, man, they're cutting the budget in Washington, they're cutting the budget in the state of Illinois, and they're cutting budgets everywhere. It just seems like we just can't get over this. It just seems like this is never going to stop, budget cutting, because when you're cutting the budget, all you're doing is hurting people. What happened to the American dream? Is that still possible? Is that still possible anymore? Or is it just gone by the wayside? I don't know, quoting Obama here, I will not, the president said in an interview with Huffington Post when asked if he would put his signature to legislation that allowed for the sequester to come back in October this year. And I quote, and I've been very clear, he says, we are not going to have a situation where, for example, our education spending goes back to its lowest level since the year 2000, since 15 years ago, despite a larger population and more kids to educate. We can't do that to our kids, and I'm not going to sign it. I like the way he said that. I'm not going to sign it. This is the way he should talk. I wish he had a talk like this years ago against these Republicans. okay, the Republicans come up with all kind of stuff to cut the budget and hurt people, throw people out of jobs, because this would hurt the economy. Okay, right now the jobs report sits at 5.5% for the United States. With all these cuts here, cuts there, that's going to raise unemployment. A lot of these cuts are going to devastate people. It's going to devastate states, cities, towns, suburbs. It's going to devastate. It's going to kill production. But the Republicans do not care. They do care. They don't care whether you or I eat. They don't care whether you or I go to the doctor. They don't care if you or I have a job. They used to talk jobs years ago. They were lying then. You know, so I don't know. Okay, here we go. Those comments coming in the week that the House and state Republicans unveil their prospective budgets foreshadow a bitter and difficult funding fight. Under the current law, sequestration, if I can pronounce it, is scheduled to return in October with caps imposed on both defense and non-defense accounts. According to the White House Office, Management and Budget, discretionary spending overall would be reduced more than $90.4 billion compared to pre-sequester caps. Spending on defense would level off at $521 billion for non-defense. It would be $492 billion. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of cuts. Not just in defense, not just in agriculture, not just in education, but in real lives. Real lives. And like I said before, the people, I mean, we're the people. The politicians are supposed to be working for us. They're supposed to be making life a little bit more manageable for us. That's why we vote them in office. But they just don't seem to want to do that. They lie and get in office and wreak havoc. This is why I say people should have voted. Or people should have voted the right way. This is why we're having all of this. And it's sad. It's emotional. Because there are people right now at this very moment who are scared that their Social Security check is going to be eliminated or cut. They're afraid that their pensions won't be there when they turn a certain age. And they're right to be afraid. Things could actually happen. Remember a few years ago when George Bush was president of the United States, he wanted to privatize Social Security? People spoke up. People demanded him not to do that, and that never happened because people had a voice. And that's what we have to do now with these, because we got to go down here. We got to show our voices. Let them hear our voices. Because if they don't hear our voices, this is going to happen. And luckily, we got Obama there. Let's just hope he doesn't give in to any of these guys. Because if he gives in, we're in trouble. The Republicans are heartless. They are non-caring. We all know that. I don't have to keep saying that. But that's true. They're heartless and non-caring. But, like I said before, I mean, we got to get out here during these midterms elections and get these guys out of Congress. Because, you know, I mean, I voted the right way, but a lot of people did not vote the right way. And the same people who voted for these Republicans, voted for Bruce Rauner, they're crying. They're worried. They say, I voted for this guy. Now he wants to take away my pension. He wants to cut my pension. He wants to cut my Social Security. He wants to privatize this. I can't have this. How can I live? But you voted for him. Why didn't you vote for the other guy? I admit Pat Quinn had his problems. He did. He had his problems. But he would have never done the things that Rauner are proposing to do to the state of Illinois and its people. He would have never done that. He'd have never... He wouldn't have done those things. It just wouldn't happen. Okay, this is the George Wilder, this is of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me all over the place because I'm all over the internet. And when you're all over the internet, you're going to pull in those enemies who are going to say, this and that. But let me say this. If you get I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Facebook quite a bit. Because that's where the people are. They are there. I mean, wow. I heard, I think a few days ago, that there are a billion people on Facebook. I mean, if you're about anything, and if you're anybody, you would be on Facebook. You know, and people are doing all kinds of things on Facebook. It's fun. It's wonderful. But you got to watch out for the hackers. They're on Facebook, too. You got to watch out for the identity thieves. They are also on Facebook. Like I said earlier, I mean, if you see a post from me that looks like it's something that I did not write, you're probably right. I did not post it, you know. And that can go for a lot of other people also because the hackers are out there. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just not talking about me, but I'm talking about a lot of people because we all go through it. There's probably a lot of people on Facebook and other social networking sites and elsewhere who've been compromised by these, you know, thieves and these enemies and these people, you know. So if you see something on Facebook and it says my name, George Wilder Jr., and it's talking about something irrelevant or nasty or saying something vicious, it's not for me, you know. Even though somebody stole my name and put it there, okay, because I've seen that several times. So, what? I didn't write that. I didn't do that. You know, so watch out. Be careful, you know, and hang in there. I'm going to take a break right now. I'm George Wilder Jr., of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting from Chicago, and it is nighttime now in Chicago, 7:25. I will be right back. All right, Beth, stay right there with me. Okay, here we go. Boom, 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 boom. George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being here. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Hello, and we have another great show today. Thank you for podcasting the show at your convenience. On this show, anything goes. That means you can talk about just about anything and everything within reason. If you have a product such as a really good and informative book or something that benefits my audience, then let me hear about it and maybe we can get you booked on this show. I'm always your host. I'm learning just like you are. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's get started. Let's get started. We are now on the air. Do not just listen.
the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, I'm back. It's less than 2 minutes left in the show. We're going to try and get through it. Oh, okay, someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds. I'm looking at 2 minutes, okay. All righty. This is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tomorrow we're going to talk about advocates for the prostituted women and girls. This should be interesting because I always try to cover interesting shows on my radio show because I want to inform, keep an informed audience. Because we're both learning. I'm learning, you're learning, and like I said earlier, we never stop. We never stop learning. You never stop learning. You stop learning, you're dead, period. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. LinkedIn. I'm also on LinkedIn. Lowly LinkedIn, but, you know, I'm there. I don't think it's lowly, but, you know, it's just that Facebook is just so overwhelming. It makes every other social networking site seem menial, I guess, but they're not menial, if I can say that. Okay, we got about a few seconds left in the show. We don't have a... I will have a smart quiz question tomorrow, so that should make the show a little more interesting because I always like to do that. It brings out something in me. I like to educate my audience, and I also like to be educated. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to catch you folks tomorrow. It's been wonderful. Remember, this was an evening with best-selling author Sabrina Fraser. Go out and get that book. It's wonderful. She's wonderful. If you can, pick up two or three of her books. She was wonderful. And while you're at it, pick up a few of mine. Okay. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show signing off the air. All righty. Here we go. We're going to do an outro. Another great show has come to an end. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you for podcasting the show. For your listening pleasure later. I'm on the air 3 days a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for 90 minutes each day, starting at 6 p.m. The reason why I call the show great, because it makes me feel great. I enjoy doing it. See you next time. Bye.